this a hombre, hold another bottle. Look a little closer, cigar in Moscato. An actor in improv coming from Chicago. Alto, make way for Paul Vato.
Welcome to Paul Vato Presents, where my guest today is Joe Gatto. He's a very well-known baseball player.
Wrong Joe Gatto.
Wait, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. From Impractical Jokers, Joe Gatto.
A different Joe Gatto.
Jesus, how many Joe Gattos are there?
I'm the one that cooks.
Welcome, my friends, to Joe Gatto, the model,
that's superstar, right.
Supermodel, who also has to be an author, a television show host, and also an amazing celebrity chef, usually to A-listers, whether they're sports figures or celebrities. So, Joe, thank you so much for taking the time. You know I'm just messing with you. I know exactly who you are. You're the handsome Joe Gatto. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me here. This is awesome. I love this show, so I'm excited.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you. And welcome to Fireside, which, as you see, we have video. It's a live audience. There is feedback. There might be applause. There might be some laughs. So thank you. If it gets to be too much, we can always shut it off.
But,
Joe, well, welcome. Do you want to tell me just a little bit about yourself, maybe a little bit about your background, who you are, and then we'll get into all the things, you know, what you're up to and your new show and things like that.
Absolutely. You know, I'm Chef Joe Gatto, and if you don't know me, I have a national book called Seriously From Scratch. I have a television show called From Scratch, which is on Pluto, going on Roku as well. So I'm known for making everything from scratch, shockingly. You know, it's like baking cakes. I hand forge my own knives. I pull water out of the Atlantic, make salt, make my own charcoal. I break down whole animals. I milk cows, make butter and cheese. Like, you know, I take it as far as I can, and that's exactly what I do. And I'm a private chef. So I've cooked for Celtics players, Red Sox players, Phoenix Suns, just people like that. I just absolutely have a huge passion for food and love what I do.
You've really made me feel bad because, you know, as you saw, I just had a food delivery. So I'm either feeling bad about that, or I should tell you, you know, that there are stores that will deliver charcoal and knives and everything. And salt.
In that?
This blows my mind. Like, you will harvest, is it called harvesting salt? You'll get water from the ocean.
Yeah. On my show From Scratch on Pluto, you can see us. I mean, we do all of this on the show. We take these huge culinary adventures and really just have an absolute blast discovering how to make all this and discovering and talking to these amazing artists and really figuring out the from scratch angle. I can't dig deep enough into stuff. You know, I really just have this fascination of how things work and why. You know, like, a little later I'll show you, we're making chocolate from scratch at the house because I have three kids. And, you know, that's not like melting chocolate and making candy bars. We have cacao pods, which you can actually see this on my Instagram at Chef Joe Gatto, which you break open. And then we have to take out the seeds and we have to ferment them, and then we'll dry them, then we'll roast them, then we'll winnow them, then we'll, you know, make chocolate like all the way. And to me, that's just like a great way to waste a week.
Well, on behalf of all the indigenous people of the Americas, you're welcome for chocolate, for the cacao. So
I appreciate that very much. I respect the cacao.
Amazing. I love it. What's the, I don't want to say the weirdest thing, but maybe what's been the most challenging thing to make? Because I don't know if there is, because you've made your own salt. I think I could maybe figure out how to do that, but you forge your own knives. I mean, that's really ancient technology, and that you're, it can't be easy.
We went to this company and it's right out in Massachusetts, not too far from where I am, about 2 hours. And Murphy's Knives, they're now defunct, but fantastic people. And they had an old knife factory that was actually built in 1890, I believe. So they had this old process of making and hand forging knives where we were punching out of steel and walking through the whole process, you know, wheeling it. And you can see me doing it in the forge, like I had the big fire suit on, and really walking through that process. And a lot of it's that those kinds of moments have taught me is just to really respect everything that, you know, sometimes we just take for granted, you know, because these people are typically the perfect combination of artists and scientists, because there's an art to all of it, but there's also this hardcore science. No matter if it's knife making, charcoal making, or salt making, it doesn't really matter. They all combine.
And culinary, I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I own a cigar company. I'm in the cigar business. And there's also this, you know, handcrafted aspect to it. It's art, but also science, you know. So anything that comes from this earth, what you're doing with chocolate, if I don't know if you've made beer or wine.
Yeah,
I mean,
we did that on the show as well. We actually made beer and we did rum, which was a really fascinating process of, you know, going all the way through where we're putting it in the bourbon barrels and then, you know, knocking it out with the big sledgehammer and seeing it pour out. Felt like a pirate. It was awesome.
I can't help but laugh anytime that they go into the bunghole, which that's what... Sorry. Wonder, man, that is amazing. But you had me at rum, my goodness. I'm Mexican, but being in the cigar business, you know, I have this affinity, of course, for the Caribbean cultures and their rum making process. Have you done anything with either tequilas or mezcal? Because I really feel like mezcal is the next spirit that's really going to dominate the market in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Tequila is next on the list. That's actually something that I want to do on the next show. I'm just fascinated by tequila, and Mexican food is my favorite food. We actually have a place in Tulum, and so we try to get to Mexico as much as we can. And with our kids, I have a 4, a 9, and a 12-year-old, and they love it down there. Because to me, that's I love that culture, just a little laid back. And the food to me is the best in the world. And tequila is one of my favorite things to drink. And I love how you can incorporate it in food. And there's just so many different levels, you know, if it's añejo, like just all of those different ways you can experience it, where it's a sipping tequila or in a drink or anything like that. I'm kind of obsessed with it. So yeah, I'm on board with you.
I love it. I mean, I'm even willing to change the pronunciation of my last name so we can go, maybe we do a Gatto and Vado tequila, because I don't think you want to go with Gatto and Vado, but you know, I really love the, you know, especially when the tequila is handcrafted, because it's the same thing, because, you know, you're working with the agave, you're taking off the fronds, or and then you're roasting the piña, it's called a piña, you know, the pineapple. And then, I mean, whether it's crushed or whether it's finished in steel or cement, or, I mean, there's just all these things, and more so with mezcal, because for those that don't know, I'm sure, you know this, but mezcal, tequila can be made only from the blue Weber agave plant, whereas mezcal can be made from any of the other 165 different agaves. So there's a, you know, and the finishing and the smokiness, the everything, but it really does go well with Mexican food. And I must admit, I try to stay away from your Instagram for that reason, because as you can see, I'm a POS, a person of size. Anytime I see delicious food, I'm just like, I've got to go have a snack. And it's nowhere near what you're making, but it is, man, people get over to Chef Joe Gatto on Instagram, because it is a delight to the eyes. And I can only imagine if I was there, I was a little jealous of Brian Callen when you made that pizza for him.
You know, Brian, he's a great buddy, and I just think he's such a talent and keeps me laughing the whole time. So, you know, doing his show, Best of Brian Callen, which you can catch on YouTube, we had a blast. And making that pizza from scratch just blew his mind. You know, we've known each other for a while, and, you know, we ground the flour. You know, we made that from scratch. We pulled the fresh mozzarella. We made our own sausage. Like, we took it all the way. And when you see it, it really blows his mind. You know, he shoved it in his pie hole and just couldn't get over the difference of a regular pizza. You know, it's not Domino's, you know, this is something, you know, the doughs are 72 hours, because I'm just a big believer. I love taking my time doing things. It's just something in a culture that's, you know, been built around speed now and convenience. You know, I've trended in the opposite direction. It's just something that gives me real pleasure. And a lot of times I do it with my kids. My kids are excellent cooks. My son and my 9-year-old can make pasta from scratch. They can make the dough. They can, you know, they can make their own fettuccine. They can pull fresh mozz. They know how to do all that. But I always say it's just like if they had a piano teacher, right? As a parent, they're around food 24/7. They're on my shows. They're doing classes with me. They're just around it all the time. So being able to take your time and spend it with your family and make this incredible meal, and it's a learning experience at the same time. I mean, I just think that's such a win all the way around.
Food is one of those things when it's good and it's really good. And it's also, of course, a social thing. But everyone has to eat. You could just have a sandwich or a peanut butter sandwich. And you probably make your own peanut butter, though. But of course, we do that.
We do like doing that. You know, but that's something that, for me, it's all second nature. Making everything from scratch. Like there's the recent one on my Instagram. I just did fish tacos last night. So we made these black tortillas. So you actually make it with black beans. You make the tortillas and then roll them out. So they come out black. We made, you know, pico de gallo with homemade pickled onions and jalapenos. Like taking the time and crafting it, even for just for dinner, it just gives me a lot of pleasure because you can, like even a pizza, right? You can order a pizza. And you can order it with your family and you guys can have pizza that night. It's great. I mean, I don't, you know, sure, absolutely. Did it a million times. But if you make pizza together, you build a memory. And that's really important to me because passing that on, that memory and doing something like that, everyone wants to change the eating culture in America, right? Well, it's not saying eat this, eat this, eat this. It's teaching them how to cook and having a love for why we're doing it that way. So it becomes ingrained at them. We're not trying to force curriculum. We're teaching them why it's so important and that it's not just what we're putting in our mouth. It's the experience that we're doing together as well.
Your family is very blessed. You guys all are very blessed. Oh, I meant to say, did you mean pico de gallo?
I'm stealing that. that is exactly what it is now. Thank
it's
you.
Yours, partner.
I love pico de gallo. Why have I not done that? It is now officially pico de gallo.
It's official. You heard it here. I'm Paul Votto. Paul Votto presents pico de gallo. I want to be one of the first ones to try it. And you probably can't send me the recipe. You'd have to make some. Or you know what? I'll just have to come out and visit. I've always wanted to visit Boston.
My door is always open to feed people.
I love that. I love. Maybe we should do something here on Fireside, some kind of cooking. Well, you know, your plate is full. No pun intended.
I get it. I see what you did. I'd love doing cooking demos. I mean, if we can gather up a big crowd and I'll do something live where, you know, I can even like pull fresh mozz and we can make pizzas and, you know, it's almost like a little cooking class. I love that kind of stuff. One of my biggest passions is really, you know, teaching people. I love passing on every knowledge. I'm the opposite of, you know, chefs that want to kind of hide it. I love sharing it. I think food should be a shared experience. I that's why it's here. You know, they call the kitchen the heart of the house for a reason, because you're all there and it's building memories. And that really will drive your food to the next level when you're doing that, because everyone's participating. You're really getting to talk about what you're looking for. It's not just trying to sling a meal on the table to get it done.
Like you said, you can pick up the phone and order, but you know, people sometimes are just blessed enough to be able to eat together, but then to create the whole feast together, that's a whole other level.
It really is, because you're creating relationships that last a lifetime, you know, and like when we hand forged knives, the knife that I ended up with, I ended up calling a generational knife. Because, yeah, I use it all the time. I love that knife. It has a story to it. But that knife is going to be my son's knife. So yes. Now the story will continue and it will thread through the entire family and generations. And to me, that's really important because you want to tie that family thread together. You want to have these stories of sharing together. And that's where I come in and that's what I do. And that's what I actually absolutely love to do.
I'm sure it's something that can be learned, but maybe maybe I need to pick up the passion for it, because I love great food, but it's usually done at a restaurant. And
that's where, if you love great food, then it's there, you know, it's in you, and all it takes is one meal, and it doesn't have to take 10 hours. It can take, you know, 45 minutes, half hour, But you know, I say, like, if you're making tortillas, right, you make chicken tacos and just make the tortillas and the pico de gallo, and that's it. Yeah. Right? You don't have to make every single element. You don't have to slow roast chicken. You know, you could have leftover chicken for the night before. Like, just take it piece by piece. You don't have to go crazy and try to make, you know, 15-day pastrami, which is friggin' awesome. Don't get me wrong.
I cannot wait to come visit you. I'm going to buy my ticket soon because, yeah, I need to come and play around in your kitchen. By yes. play around, I mean, you know, I'll just eat what you make and try not to get in your way. I'll just try to stay out of your way.
That's typically what people need.
Do you have a tortilla press or how do you make the tortillas? Because it brings back memories of my grandmother. You know, she had a molcajete, a mortar and pestle, you know, to and spices and things like that.
So we make two types of tortillas here. We make flour, which you're rolling out and, you know, patting, doing back and forth. We make all different kinds of those because you can flavor them however you want, customize them as you're making them. And the corn ones, which is what you're talking about, made with finely ground masa, which is absolutely, to me, a freshly made corn tortilla. I feel like it's like the taste of Mexico to me. It's that ultimate like grandmother-y flavor that just, it makes you feel like you're at home. It gives you this warm feeling and it's the ultimate vessel to eat anything in. So we do those as well. Huge fan of the corn tortilla. We make them a lot. We actually have made the masa ourselves, where you take a field-dent corn and you put it through a process called nixtamalization. Sure. And then you grind it and make the fresh masa, and we make tamales with that as well, which is tamales to me. If it was death row, I'm saying tamales.
I want a baker's dozen of tamales. Right.
And it has to be stuffed with like conchinita pibil for me.
We're going to need to come back and continue this conversation because I have so many memories that have to do with tamales. I went to Catholic school, parochial school, so we would have the nuns over. So around Christmas time, they came over, and I told them, I'm like, oh, do you like those tamales? My mom made them in a garbage can. My mom and grandma made them in a garbage can. Because for those that don't know, when you make, it's probably a garbage can, but it's been modified. You can go to the Mexican store and Latin American store.
I have one in my kitchen.
It's an aluminum.
It's humongous.
Humongous trash can, but it's elevated because there's got to be steam, and they're clean. It's not like we threw it in a trash can. My mother was like, "What are you telling them?" She had to bring it out and go like, "No," because they were kind of like, "What?" And then we had another one where my mom was helping out the mayor get reelected, so she brought tamales, and his right hand man Kent. I still remember the guy. Now, 5 or 6 years old, he picked up the tamal and just bit in it and was like, this is horrible. My mom said, everyone, people there were like, no, you have to unwrap it.
Like, he was like, be reelected.
He didn't know. But there's just so many stories that I, you know what, I should maybe do a podcast, and I'd love to have you on because same with my grandmother, you know, just full of flour or masa. And yes. I know that's the whole process, and that's science. Because don't you mix it with like lye or something crazy to make?
Yeah, that jellifies the husk. So when you're putting it through nixtamalization, that's the key. It jellifies the husk, and then you have to rinse it really, really well. And then you have the field-dent corn that without the husk, and that's what you grind to make masa. And then, you know, then you grind it even further to make fine masa, to make corn tortillas. And, you know, or like with the whole masa, you make pozole, anything like that, which is another, you know, that's like the Mexican version of tomato soup, right? Everyone, you have a skin need and you eat pozole. I take pozole every time personally. But, you know, tamales are a real, that's a very, like, you share that with the family. Everyone makes it together. It's a process. And at the end, you have this communal dinner. And that's another reason I love Mexican food, because it's typically always done with the whole family working. No one's just sitting there. You know, I love that process.
It is. Well, yes. I mean, traditionally,
and maybe that's changing in a good way, that it's usually all the women are in the kitchen. And this is very traditional Christmas time, from what I understand, you know, the tamales. So there's a tamale festival in Indio, California, that, that people go to. But it's, so it is. It's very communal. It's very family. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And do you speak Spanish, or how do you get along when you go to Mexico?
Poquito. You know, like my wife and my son, when we're down in Mexico at our place in Tulum, they're fantastic with it. I know all the chefs, so we just speak that food language. A great story. Right in Tulum, I met a chef who does an amazing, amazing conchinita pibil. And he learned from this master woman who's like in the middle of the jungle. And we were just talking. And then he brought out a churro, which blew my mind. My wife and I had never had a churro. Typically in America, they're very donut-like. And this was not donut-like at all. It almost had a custardy center. It was the greatest churro I've ever had in my life. So I asked to talk to the chef. They brought him out. We started chatting. Next thing you know, my wife says, you know, Joe's in back in the kitchen and I'm making churros with the grandmother's recipe with the chef. And then he has his waiter translate his grandmother's recipe for me and sends me home with it. And now I make them here.
That's food.
That's what food does. It makes you share. It's such a wonderful, wonderful business.
I wish I could remember the movie, but I thought you were going to say that you had to kill the chef because that was the best cochinito pibil he'd ever made. There's I forget what it is, but Johnny Depp maybe's in it. And he's an assassin and he kills the chef because it can't get any better than that. And that is the
Robert Rodriguez movie.
See.
Right? Yeah. Yes. Part of the El Mariachi trilogy.
That's exactly it. Exactly. Thank you.
Rodriguez is a big cook as well.
You guys together? I think we need him to direct us in something. I go by Paul Vato because my real last name is Rodriguez, but you know, there's already a Paul Rodriguez who's a comedian.
Remember Paul. Sure.
I go by Paul Vato.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great name. Paul Vato. I didn't know that. That's great.
Vato, you know, Vato, it means dude in Spanish, right. Mexican slang. Hey, Vato, órale, Vato.
That I did know. That's one of the few words I know. I can say a lot of the foods.
Yeah, well, you speak beautiful restaurant Spanish, so that's wonderful.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. I really do believe part of when you're having a meal of what makes something so delicious is the environment. You know, I think the environment has partly to do with how much you enjoy it. And we made tamales on my 50th birthday, and we had friends and family here, and we all did it together and then cooked it. It was actually for an episode of the show, and those were also up there for me. But the ones we had right outside Tulum were mind-blowing, just absolutely mind-blowing. And I got to find that Walmart, though.
These are like drug deals, you know, where you would think that they're going like, I got Coke, I got weed.
Sounds like first one's free, you know.
That's how I sell my cigars. The first one is free, and then after that, you got to pay.
Right? And then you have to go back. Yeah, I'm all over that. Anywhere there's a good tamale, I'm going.
Who's got tamales? Tamales?
Right. Tamales. It's super sketchy.
When I did improv, when I was in Chicago at the Second City, after a show or whatever, we would go to the bar across the street. And there were two, you know, because Chicago's at 2 o'clock. There are some bars that are open till 2, then some that are open till 4. This is every day of the week.
Wow.
On the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, you get an extra hour. So 2 o'clock bar becomes a 3 o'clock bar. This is the way it was 20 some years ago. Yes. Now there are also, at least at that time, maybe they're no longer, but they're also, I'm sorry, let me back up. So the 4 o'clock bar becomes a 5 o'clock bar.
Right.
Then there were some bars that were open till like 7 a.m., maybe like 1 or 2, but it was legal. And then they'd have to close for an hour. But if you knew people, you could stay there. So you could literally, it was like Vegas. You could just stay there drinking. It was unbelievable. There was a guy that would show up in like a butcher's out. He almost looked like a doctor. When we first saw him, we're like, why is there a doctor in here? And then he would lay out a spread of sausages, Italian sausage, pork chops that he had, meats, cheeses, and then he had a freezer truck outside, and it was the first one's free. So you'd go, oh, you're drinking, and you go up to the table, and he'd be like, here, yeah, take it, have some. You'd start eating. Awesome. What I ask of you guys is to please head on over to Apple Podcasts and give us a like, give us a follow. Also, maybe leave us a review. That'd be great, even if you just say a few words. I'm very excited because I'm in a community called Good Pods, which is a great way to listen to podcasts. And we are now in the top 10 in both indie comedy interview podcasts. So if you go over to Good Pods, it's an app, maybe download it and give us a follow there. I would really, really appreciate it. That's all I ask. Of course, we have a Patreon too. So there you go. This guy then would walk you outside, and he'd open the back of, I mean, we were like, when he's inside, should we steal his truck? It was a butcher's truck full of frozen meats. And then you could buy pork chops, steaks, the sausage that he was giving out, the cheese, whatever you wanted. And it's 3:30 in the morning. And then I would buy it, and like a degenerate, I would then go, and I lived in a really nice place. And I moved back and forth like Printer's Row. And it was around, as Joey Diaz says, like proper white people. And here I am at 6 in the morning, grilling out in like a robe, smoking a cigar. And here are all these proper white people going to work, mothers with their kids in strollers, like looking and going like, this guy's grilling at 6 in the morning, smoking a cigar. And it was just...
Right, people covering their children's eyes.
Yeah, like, don't look at that, man. That's not what we want you to be. That's why I got to go to work at 6 in the morning.
See, I would be telling my kids, I'd be like, now, this is what you want to be doing. We're going to stop and have a sausage with this man, and we're going to talk to him because he's in a bathrobe with a cigar and making food. This is interesting, right? That's when you should stop.
Thank you. And I would see... you know, men in suits kind of like looking dejected, going to work. And I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, so there was something great about it. But yeah, this is the way this guy would sell his song. And I'm sure he had a butcher shop during the day, I would hope. Or
that's solid marketing. Yeah, you'd hope he'd have his butcher. Yeah, if he didn't have a butcher shop, that's a little sketchy. But, you know, whatever works.
Turned out he was a serial killer and he was just getting rid of the evidence. But you know what? It was delicious.
That's perfect.
That's the show. There's the show.
Yeah, that's definitely my next show, right?
You and Callan.
Me and Callan would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, 100%. So what's next for Joe Gatto? We are, I know you're doing your show. Now, is people can still get your book? Is it on Amazon or what's the?
You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Seriously From Scratch, Joe Gatto. So we do everything in there from scratch pulling cheeses, making meats, full pig barbecue. Like there's everything in there. It's a super fun book. It really harkens back to a lot of my youth and things that influenced me. And then I have my show on Pluto called Joe Gatto's From Scratch, which, still plays on the weekends and is on demand on them. And now Brian Callen and I are doing a new show, which right now we're calling This Is Not a Cooking Show. So it's going to be Brian and I taking, you know, celebrities out on these culinary adventures to milk cows or get honey from beehive where they have to wear it and then take them back to the kitchen and really show them how to make a meal that meant something to them as a kid. And we're going to recreate it, but all from scratch after going to get the ingredients and taking it to the next level.
What a great idea for a show.
Thank you.
You take people out. You make them kind of work for it.
Yeah.
But then they get the reward.
You know, any comedian, the best thing to do is put them in a situation that makes them uncomfortable because they're going to be funny. Right. And I've got Callan, who's friggin' hilarious. I mean, he's Eddie from The Hangover. The guy's just, you know, he's just brilliant. And, you know, and I just want to make everything from scratch. And I love the adventure part of it, you know, like, so that mix is just super fun. And you can kind of see a test of it on, like I said, on Brian's show on YouTube, Best of Brian Callen. You can see Brian when he flew out here and we made pizza. There's just like, you can, Brian and I really like working together. We have a lot of fun on camera and we just have a blast doing what we do together. And I think that makes it fun. You know, when we're enjoying each other's company and just, it's like being in the kitchen with, you know, a couple funny uncles that are old. Oh,
yes, yes, yes. You made the pizza in your place. Do you have blue cabinets? Was that your place?
Yeah.
Am I thinking of something else?
Nope, that's my house.
It's beautiful. That was stunning. I love that color. I'm looking around at my regular cabinets. I'm like, you know what? I think I've got some ideas there. It's such a beautiful color. How many Joe Gatto baseball player cards do you have?
I mean, all my friends that are collectors, I get those sent to me. I mean, it just like a month ago, I was at one of my friends' card shops stopping by, and the minute I walk in, they're like, oh, here's Chef, and they have just this little pile of them, of Joe Gatto cards for me. I love it. It's awesome.
You need your own card. This Joe Gatto, the model, the chef, the auteur, player's card. Because I know for a while that they were making them. Because I know, I think Steve Byrne, the comedian, he had one. So I think Topps was actually making them for stand-up comedians. I'm sure Callen might have one, but now we need a chef series.
I had a guy approach me about that, and I had him make my son a baseball card of his, like, you know, my son. It was really cool. It had like a baseball like sewn into it. It was like a patch card. It was very cool. And then he said he got all my statistics that I wanted to put on. He was going to make me one and then just dropped off the face of the earth.
We'll find one for you.
Someday someone will pop up and I'll have my own card and I'll be very happy. I'll put it right in my case of collected cards with my mantles and everything else.
Amazing. Amazing. I just found, I'm surprised I found them, a ton of Magic the Gathering cards from like 20 some years ago. And I guess these packs are going for like $200-$300 a piece, I think.
I heard they're super collectible. I see them on some of the sites I'm on of people doing that and Pokemon, and they're pulling in big bucks for it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's like a thing of heroin right there. You've got some real money there.
I'm going to go to the parking lots and go, Magic the Gathering cards.
Right.
Magic the
Gathering. Who wants some Magic like, cards? Would you trade it for tomorrow? Yeah, yeah.
Tamales. Yeah. 100%. So what I meant to ask you, when you did Brian's show, Best Of, you guys mentioned this is not a cooking show. Is that where you came up with the name, or did you already have the name, but you were kind of worked it in? Well,
it was very organic. That's how a lot of this new show really comes about. You know, it was very organic, and Brian and I, as we were just kind of riffing, this is not a cooking show really came up, and then we discussed it after, and it really makes sense because cooking's part of it, but it's not the backbone. You know, it's not Julia Child, who is my favorite, or anything like that. It's definitely not Food Network. It's Food Network would not let us ever air something like this, because the backbone is really about the adventure and really about getting to know somebody and how food brings people together. And then in the kitchen, when we're creating it, it's kind of the crescendo. You know, it's where we take all that fun and all those elements. It comes together. We get in the kitchen. You see, you know, it won't be 20 minutes in the kitchen. It will be that, you know, that 7 to 10 minutes of just, this is how this works. This is how we're doing it. Creating everything from scratch, you know, showing some of the fermentation. So it's not going to be based on cooking. It's really about relationships. And the real part is going to be these crazy adventures that we're going on, because I want to do everything where we're making our own hot dogs from scratch. And then we're going and, you know, taking batting practice and giving them out at a charity with the Dodgers, like things like that. I really want to bring the show so it's all encompassing and just super fun.
What a great concept. What a great idea for a show. Because you're right. It's about this journey from getting stuff from the earth and then creating it and then getting to enjoy it and then paying it forward. And
that's exactly it. And meeting the people that are doing the farms, you know, and I want to do everything from going out on a boat to catch tuna. And then while we're out there, dive with some great whites. You know, go with cage diving with a great white, which Callan is so down for. And they'll definitely go for Callan first. They're not going to eat me, you know. They're going to definitely go for Callan.
Normally, I start out this way, but I love that we've gotten this far. I wanted to ask about your family and when you grew up. I would imagine, I imagine that your background is Italian. Sorry, Italian, just to upset some people. It's Italian. And was there a big food presence? Was there the whole traditional, you know, mom at home cooking or grandma, or was it everyone?
Well, in my house, you know, in Boston, everyone's half Irish and half Italian, it seems. When I grew up, everybody was that way. And so my dad was probably, let me think about it. Yeah, the worst cook ever. Yep, definitely. He was, you know, he would know when to take something off the stove when the fire alarms went off. Like, he was terrible in the kitchen, couldn't stand the kitchen. But my mom is an incredible cook. So I grew up on the counter, you know, sifting and measuring and doing all that, and then graduating to knife work. And then eventually, you know, I took over the grill, and it was always me and my mom in the kitchen, even when she'd have big parties, which, you know, now I recreate. We just had my birthday party, and every year we have a big party here, but I do all the cooking with my sous chef. We cook for everybody and make everything from scratch because I love that part of it. And that's how I grew up. You know, my mom, my grandmothers, I didn't really cook with them. It was really my mom and I, and we still cook together to this day. She just came over and we were grinding flour, making breads together. I think that's just where I picked up not only my food part, but the art of conversation as well. And you really get to know someone when you're cooking. And I think it's advantageous as a parent to cook with my children in the kitchen because they're just constantly talking and sharing. And I don't know if you'd get that if you sat them down and asked them questions.
No, that's true. You catch them a little bit off guard, I'd imagine, because they're busy concentrating on what they're doing.
Right.
Or very organic to be able to then converse with them, I'm guessing. Exactly. You know, same with these celebrities and people that you're going to be working with, because their guard is down. You know, they're too busy concentrating on what they're cooking or the things that they're picking to then turn into food, that now it's just us talking. So that's such a great concept for your show. But you also have a background in filmmaking. Is that not?
That's when I was younger. That's exactly what I did. I moved to Berkeley, California. I was working at a production house and, you know, shooting, editing, doing all of that for years and years and years and years. And I still do with my family and everything else. I'm still constantly making short films, you know, just it was in my blood. You know, I really love the filmmaking aspect of it. And that's when my new show, or my first show, From Scratch, you know, that's my baby. And people loved the concept, but they really loved how we did it and that just how the story threads unfold, the cinematography. It's very filmatic. And I think that's why, as a little independent show out of Boston, we got picked up by network, you know, and we went number one on Pluto and we beat everybody, you know, right? And we got released just as the pandemic came out and the numbers we're through the roof. We picked up a huge audience and people just started really reaching out to me, and we just kind of got this great following, and everybody really loves the concept. They know that I'm the same on camera, off camera. I'm just me. And this is it. This isn't a shtick. This is really what, you know, I love to do.
Well, continued success. I can't wait to see this new show, Not a Cooking Show. Do you have a sizzle reel for that, or do you just send them over to your episode?
My production company, Buck Productions, which is out of LA and Toronto, they've done tons of shows. They're the ones that have put together the deck, which is, you know, all the elements and the sizzles and everything else. And that's what goes to network. But, you know, you can definitely go see Brian if you find me on Instagram, or just find Brian on Instagram. I mean, he has like a million followers. You can see it on everything, links from me and him, where you can go check out what we did together. And that's a pretty good representation of what the cooking part will be like. And then you can just kind of fill in the blanks and put a celebrity there and, you know, let's go milk cows. It's just something really fun.
Wonderful. Do you do stand up or anything? Do you have a one person show? Because man,
I let Callan do all the humor. I just, you know, I just do the cooking and just have fun as I'm doing it. You know, this is pretty much it. And go on cool shows like this and get to talk about nerdy stuff.
Amazing. Well, please, everyone, go over to Chef Joe Gatto. Sorry, it's my Spanish pronunciation.
I got it.
Gatto and Vado. I'm trying to make it happen. And please follow Joe Gatto over at Instagram at Chef Joe Gatto. And from there, you can follow all of his other social media. Find him on Amazon, buy his book, find his TV show. Are you on TikTok at all? Because you would kill it.
I am on TikTok. I just haven't been very active. Just because honestly, I love TikTok and I know I'm old for TikTok and I don't care because I think it's such a fun format, but I just haven't been active just because I've just been too busy to shoot stuff. But yeah, I am on TikTok. Instagram's really where you're going to see the bulk of my videos. And we just did one for Tulum. You're going to see a lot of stuff there. You're going to see all my food that I'm making at the house. You're going to see things that I'm making for clients. You're going to see me recipe testing for the show. You can link to the show I did with Brian Callen. And, you know, you'll get updates on everything.
Again, I would just ask that you follow us on Apple Podcasts and also maybe Spotify. But really, if you go to Good Pods, it's an app that you can download. And I'm building a community there. It's kind of like Facebook, where if you listen to something, if you want, it'll show what you listen to and what you like, and you follow people, they follow you back. And that's where we're in the top 10 of comedic interview podcasts. So, and I just found out.
My friend, this was super fun. I have such a blast with you. You have such a great personality. You're so easy to talk to and conversational. I'm sure this is just going to continue to go through the roof for you, my man.
Oh, Joe, thank you. That means a lot. And to be honest, I normally, this is the first time I think I've worn all black, and I don't know why. I was like, you know what, let me throw on a black shirt, not even realizing, you know, of course you're a chef, of course you probably wear all black. But normally I'm in blue for some reason. I threw this on, so I'm glad you got the memo, and we both wore black.
I did. My report came through. I was like, oh, I had red on before, and now I feel like we match. So it went even better now that we match. I think people are probably talking about it.
I think they are. Well, you know, two supermodels. What else?
That's right. How much do you need from one fireside chat?
Put the fire in fireside.
You're the best, my brother.
Thank you, Joe. Again, thank you so much for taking the time. I want to thank everyone that was here, everyone that showed up. We had the best Joe Gatto, the model, the author, the TV show host, and the celebrity chef. Next time, I want to find out what celebrities you've cooked for and things like that, because if you can share that, I don't know. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Maybe within a couple of weeks, I'll have this up as a proper podcast. But in the meantime, you can always come back and listen to it here on Fireside, or we've simulcast it on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. So it's up there
cool.
in its raw form. And then polish it up a little bit and then
put it in white.
So,
yeah. So, and thank you everyone for listening. And, you know, if anyone has any culinary questions or anything, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram. I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Oh, thank you for making yourself available. I'm sorry. I wish you would have had more time so that we could bring people up, because I'm sure people had some questions. And
I mean, I've got another 5 minutes if people want to come up, if anyone has a question. So if anyone wants to get one in now, I can answer it now. If not, feel free to hit me on IG.
Thank you guys so much for being here.
Awesome.
I think that they will. I'm sure that they'll reach out on your DM. So thank you for making yourself accessible to all these wonderful people. And folks, that's the show. That's Paul Vato Presents. My guest today was Joe Gatto, a fabulous author, TV show host, and celebrity chef to A-listers and athletes. So if you need a chef, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm his manager. Just to contact me. No, I'm kidding. Just DM Joe, and maybe he can cook for you, because everything is from scratch.
Boom. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tiene ese hombre holding up the bottle. Look a little closer, cigar in Moscato. An actor in improv coming from Chicago. Alto, make way for Paul Vato. Pablo, si hablo con mi tacos. Not today, hasta luego, dar un paseo. Homes a block away. I gotta tell you about a time when I saw a say. Copy a broke, like say what?